The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Welcome, you're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and that cute little fellow over there. Well, that's Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Are you still trying to solve your own life's mysteries, Tim?
Oh, I've been doing it for years, Dave.
Well, why not just let our sponsor, who's been seen on Good Morning America, help you solve your case? Psychic Source, Tim. They're a 24/7 phone, online chat, and video psychic service. They've been in business now for 30 years. They have over 300 of the most experienced, authentic psychics in the world. And you can try it for as low as 83 cents a minute. Plus, your first 3 minutes are free. And check this out, Tim. Where else do you get this guarantee anymore? Your satisfaction, 100% guaranteed, or your money back. You have nothing to lose.
Nice. I like that.
Not a bad deal. You have to use promo code DARKNESS to get the special introductory offer of the first 3 minutes free and 83 cents a minute. You have to be 18 years or older with a valid credit card in your name to get a psychic reading. So stop waiting around for life to figure itself out. If you have answers or questions and you need answers, call Psychic Source 1-800-355-9214. Use code DARKNESS or go to psychicsource.com and use code DARKNESS. All right, Tim, we've got an interesting show lined up. Mm-hmm. We've got a guest who does a little bit of everything, and he's here to chat with us about his work and career and the films that he's been working on. Dee McCulley is our guest, a multi-nominated short horror filmmaker. He's also a documentarian, producer, paranormal investigator since 1993. He's been seen on things like Destination America, T&E, True TV, and has produced many local web series on the paranormal in Thunder Bay region of Ontario, such as Dark History and Thunder Bay Paranormal Society for Shaw TV. And there's viral documentaries such as Sasquatch on the Lake Superior 1 and 2 and Northern Lights, a UFO documentary, which also aired on Shaw TV. He's been featured on TV news reports, news articles, magazines, books, radio, and podcasts. And somehow we have drugged him and forced him to do our show today. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dee.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's nice to finally be on the show.
Well, I'm glad you're on the show, too, because I've had a Theater of the Mind queued up for a while, but I haven't known exactly when or how I was going to use it. This might be one of the strangest Theater of the Mind episodes we've ever had. So stay tuned for that in a little bit, folks. But finally, you're the guy to bridge this gap for us. So thank you for being that fella. Let's get a little background on this. 93, you've been a paranormal investigator. What brought your attention to the paranormal? Were you having experiences of your own, or were you one of those trying to figure out why everybody else was having an experience and you weren't?
Wow. That's kind of a loaded question right off the bat.
You will answer it and answer it now, mister.
I sure will. I grew up in a haunted house. There was always like spirit sightings in the house. A lot of times it's people we didn't even know who it was. And then sometimes there's like people we did know, like my great grandma and stuff like that. Things like slippers walking by themselves. That was my granny's slippers and stuff like that. Yeah.
You would just see. Now, wait, physical slippers or ghost slippers?
Her slippers she left behind after she died. Yeah,
they would just start padding across the room.
Well, here's the story. It's actually my great granny. Sorry. The story came from my mom, actually, who her cousin was staying here with my grandfather after my granny died. And he was staying here overnight, and he heard something cooking, like kind of. And he smelled like almost like there was breakfast being cooked. He got up expecting to see my grandpa standing there, great grandpa. And there was no one there. He turned around and looked back into the living room. And there was my great granny's slippers walking across the living room floor by themselves. He completely freaked out, ran down the highway to my grandparents' house where my mom heard the story. And that's just one of the things that happened here. Also
completely nuts. All right. Very cool opening story. I like that. That's something different than we've normally heard.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some weird stuff that happens here. What else? There was like, I remember as a child, like hearing tons of voices in the morning, and I'd wake up, I'd be thinking, oh, there's gotta be the TV going or something like that. I wonder what they're watching. Almost sounded like a party was going on. So wake up, next thing I start to realize, hey, these voices are getting, you know, a lot more quiet. Start looking around, everyone's still asleep, like I'd be hearing all these voices. And then when I was about 10 years old, there used to be someone that would whisper my name. They'd wake me up. I'm sorry about that. I should have turned off my notifications here. Someone would wake me up in the morning calling my name. And finally, I said, what? And that was the last time I ever heard that. And well, that brings
so it's like once you acknowledged it, it just stopped.
Yeah, it stopped. But I think in a way it opened me up also by acknowledging it. At least that's what I think anyway. Yeah. So that takes us into the 90s. About 1993, I was in high school and my buddy's like, hey, did you ever hear of EVP? I was like, no. What's that? Well, you take a recorder to a cemetery and you ask questions, you'll get answers. I was like, yeah, right. You're crazy. And then it nagged me. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm gonna try this. So I took my ghetto blaster, a big ghetto blaster there in 1993, went over to the cemetery, started asking questions. Upon playback, I could hear almost like there was breathy responses. I couldn't tell what they were saying. And I realized that it wasn't me breathing, but there were responses happening. And that kind of brought me into investigating the paranormal.
All right. Now you've had all of these experiences growing up throughout your life. You go in, you actually test the theory that can I record voices? And you certainly capture something that sounds like it's trying to communicate with you in an intelligent way.
Yes.
Now you jump off from there, and obviously 1993, so you're really well ahead of the 2004, 2005 curve when all of a sudden paranormal TV programming explodes.
Right.
Now you've done documentaries on Sasquatch on Lake Superior and Sasquatch on Lake Superior Part 2, Northern Lights UFO documentary. What took you from the ghosty aspect to investigating stories like Bigfoot and UFOs?
Well, I did a lot of ghost documentaries, like dark history, stuff like that. And it was doing okay. Like I was getting views and getting people following me and stuff like that. But I just wanted to branch out. It's all paranormal, right? So I thought, you know what? I've always been interested in Sasquatch, UFOs. I'm gonna try the Sasquatch thing. So I you know, came up with that idea with my friend, and basically made the documentary, and I was so surprised how many views I got. The documentary went viral, and I wasn't even expecting it because I'm used to 10 views to 1,000 views on something, big whoop. But you know, when you start to get 50,000 views at a time, I'm almost at 500,000. So I'm getting there. So I stumbled onto popular content is what it was. So I'm going to continue on doing the Sasquatch stuff. I always found it, it's so interesting, this kind of thing.
So basically you just hoard yourself out. You sold out your whole concept to realize this gets me more views, and D, you sold out to the man. Is that what you've just admitted to us?
Pretty much, but you know, the ghost thing, you are right in a sense, but the ghost thing is always there. You know, in between doing these projects, 5 months at a time I'm working on them, I will go do a venue. Like I will go to the Mather Walls house. It's it's said to be one of the Northern Ontario's most haunted homes. It's an old place. I've done that. And I went to the Mackenzie Inn, which is haunted. We caught stuff there as well. So the ghost stuff is always there in between.
All right. At least you're still showing some love for the original. Talk to me about Sasquatch. You decide you want to start to investigate this. How do you narrow down a region where you want to, you know, set this documentary? And was there a lot of activity there? And if so, what type?
Yeah, there was a lot of activity, like structures, people finding footprints and stuff like that. Stories that have come through to Dark History over the years. And I was like, okay, well, this is good stuff. So maybe I can reach out a little more and cover Lake Superior, the northernmost, like all around the top of Lake Superior, basically, my area. And that's where that concept came up, the idea for Sasquatch on Lake Superior.
Now, were you a believer in Sasquatch?
Yes.
You know, okay, you were, straight up. Meaning you believed it existed or there was a possibility it could exist?
I believed it did. But what I would like to do is prove it to other people. So if I can actually catch something on video, that'd be great. I haven't caught anything yet other than footprints. Like captured that for Sasquatch too. Yeah, but I do believe they exist, and I'd just like to prove it somehow.
All right. Well, talk to me about the kind of experiences that have been going on around that region.
Well, like I said, the finding structures in the woods, screams, wood knocks, people finding footprints, that kind of thing was going on. You know, so many stories.
Were you getting many eyewitness accounts where people full on saw these beings?
There was a couple that have, yes. Yes, there was, where was that now? I'm trying to think. It's been a while since I've seen these. I've been so busy. I'm just trying to think of where that was now. People had seen it down at Peck River and stuff like that. And they actually went out hunting for it.
Oh, so they went out looking for it and ended up finding it.
No, they didn't find it, though. That was the thing. There were so many sightings of it. But, you know, they all banded together saying, okay, we're going out this morning. We're going to go hunt this thing down. This is back in the day. I'd heard about it. And but they never caught anything. That was the thing. It was so elusive.
When people have witnessed it and seen the physicality, the actual being, what type of encounters have they been? Violent? Have they been fleeting, just kind of in and out of streams, or, you know, walking past them? What's the details of those type of encounters?
I remember one of them was fairly big. This is a blog entry that actually went viral for me. It was over in Dubreuil, Ontario. There's these two guys that were driving down the road, down the highway. And that's when they saw this creature come up from the woods, like through the ditch onto the road. As they got closer, this thing didn't move. And it was only so many feet in front of them. Finally, it turned and looked at them. And to their shock, they realized what that was. And the thing decided to walk back down into the ditch and into the woods. And they stopped their truck. These guys actually got out. They ran into the woods trying to catch it. And as they're in there, they're looking around like, where could this thing be? It can't just disappear. They realized, I think it was like 20 feet, 30 feet in front of them. They saw it laying on its belly. This thing gets up and screams at them, this blood-curdling scream. They didn't know what to do. All they could do was like bolt back to their truck. And that was the end of that sighting.
Yeah, I guess that would probably be my reaction if I ran into one of these things up close and personal. You know, It's interesting you say, you know, there's so many sightings. Then the minute we actually physically go out looking for them, it is almost impossible. Do you believe these beings are supernatural in nature, meaning that maybe they're not physical earthbound beings?
That's my belief. As the natives up here believe too, they were part spirit, part physical. They could basically transfer in and out of portals or doors. And that's my belief too, is that these things could leave behind some form of evidence like footprints, but then just disappear into nothingness. That's my belief.
Do you think there's any tie to alien culture with Bigfoot?
I've heard that. I don't really believe it, but you know, when there's a UFO sighting, say off into the woods, people see something landing, you know, say they're driving down the highway, see something landing, and then you hear about a Sasquatch being seen in the same area. There could be some kind of a tie-in. I don't know how it ties in, but who knows?
Well, our theater of the mind may give some insight into that today. It is one of the weirdest ones I've ever heard. So we'll be sharing that a little bit later. But again, maybe this has some reason why this is taking place. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, you do two full-on documentaries regarding Bigfoot. And with your permission, we'll include the links to the Sasquatch on Lake Superior, Sasquatch on Lake Superior 2, and the Northern Lights documentary on today's program, so people can click them and find them more easily. Would that be all right?
That's awesome. Thank you.
All right, we'll do that. But you go do this and start gathering these stories, start collecting these antidotes. I'm sorry, Tim, not antidotes, right? Then I'm trying to solve somebody's poison. What is it? Anecdote. How do you say
anecdotes?
Anecdotes. I can't get the damn word out. Can we just change that word to mean antidote anyway, Tim?
No.
Come on, do it. How hard is it going to get Webster to change this over for just me, Tim?
Very.
You son of a bitch. You are so lazy when it comes to helping me reformat the entire English language. I got to tell you, D, if you're ever looking for a partner that's willing to go that extra mile, it's not Tim. He won't go to Webster and try to get him to redo language for you. He won't. I've tried. 13 years, he won't do it. Son of a bitch. All right. So tell me about some of the personal firsthand accounts and things that are going on. Are there many violent attacks?
The violent one, that was the one where the people were getting screamed at up in Dubreuilville. Other things that they have seen is like on the Black Sturgeon River, there's a dam up here, and people have just seen fleeting images of Sasquatch up there. I was quite surprised myself to hear that. I'm like, are you serious? Yes, it just happened like, you know, 11 days ago. Just happened 11 days ago. You should have told me right away. I would have been there. But, you know, people have seen things like that. You know, a creature running out from the woods, down, diving into the water, a black creature, and then running up onto the rocks. It's not a bear. This is like running like a person with a holding a stick in its hand as it, you know, runs away. Stuff like that. It's like, that's, I'd never heard of anything like that in like, just, this is like 4 kilometers away from me.
Right.
So it's going to be a new place to go for me. Definitely.
Very cool. To get out there into this field and to do this, and I'm going to be pushing myself later on this year. Dr. Melba Ketchum has invited me. She knows of an area, a sanctuary area, where these Bigfoot live. And she has said that just about everybody she's brought out there has had their own personal experience with these beings. So I've taken her up on that. To me, that was a challenge of, you know, like when I went to Gilliland's Ranch, the Yosetti Ranch up in Trout Lake, Washington, she claims that, you know, or James claimed that if you came, you had a 95% chance of seeing strange activity in the skies. I was like, all right, you know, let me put that to the challenge. And I've had weird experiences. So when Dr. Ketchum said that this location she knows of has the same effect with Bigfoot, I decided to put myself out there. So I'm going to be going to visit Dr. Melba Ketchum and her crew to be taken out to actually Bigfoot and see if I can, in fact, have an encounter. The thing they said, which I find interesting, is you can't bring cameras or recording devices because when they know that that's what you're there for, they don't come.
Right, so, right. That's interesting.
So to me, it's, you know, everybody's like, oh, so you can't even document it. We got to take your word for it. I'm like, personally, I don't give a shit if you take my word for it or not. I want to go have an experience again. I saw something when I was young. If I see something now, that would be great. And, you know, as your host, as your friend here on the radio, I'd like you to believe that what I tell you is what I actually experienced. But I'm more in it for the personal experience. I don't really care to always have to prove myself or the experience that I've had to anybody else. To me, it's about, you know, just having and being open to those experiences. Have you ever thought about putting yourself out in that environment without film, without camera crew, without, you know, anything, just to see if that opens up your chances to actually having a real sighting?
Well, that really reminds me of the time I actually did see a Sasquatch or some form of giant forest being. I was going to shoot Dark History episode 5. I said 2 on the documentary. It was 5, episode 5.
Okay.
I'm like in the train tunnel. So I got out, you know, it finished raining that morning. It was cool. There was a bit of fog and stuff like that, but it was drying up. And I make my way over to Jumbo Cove, and that's where this 1,000-foot train tunnel is blasted in the rocks. And I get out of the car to go down there because I want to record some, you know, people said they've seen ghosts and stuff like that. That's what I'm there for. I had my camera with me. I'm all set to go. So I'm walking towards the tunnel, and I'm looking at the size of this thing. It's like, this thing is massive, like 40 feet tall. 1,000 feet down, you know, it gets so cold in the middle of that tunnel. It's not even funny. I make it to the threshold and I'm looking down at the end, and then something comes out from the right hand side. It walks out from the right to the left, and I'm looking at it. I had, this thing was big. Like I could see that it was a tall white creature, and I'm watching it. The sighting must have been about 5 or 6 seconds, maybe, taking big strides. And I'm trying to get my camera going, and I'm like, oh my God, this is not working. It's fogged up. Come on. So I finally, you know, get it to unfog, and the fastest thing I could do is take a photograph. Well, I just missed the thing by like a second. So I have a photo of an empty tunnel.
Excellent.
I was prepared, though. I did have a camera with me. That was the thing. And I still had the experience, which brings me up to this point, is that when you see these things, you are never ready. The Sasquatch is the last thing in your mind, and that's what a lot of people say. You're not thinking about Sasquatch. You're thinking about, you know, any number of possibilities, but Sasquatch is the farthest thing from your mind, and that's when you see it.
See, Sasquatch is like Fight Club. We don't talk about Fight Club. Sasquatch, you don't think about Sasquatch, you see Sasquatch. That's got to be the answer for most of this. I'll tell you what, though, folks, if you want to have a better chance at finding Sasquatch, maybe you should talk to our friends over at Psychic Source. Our friends over at Psychic Source have actually been doing this for over 30 years. They have psychic advisors who work with the police to help solve crimes. These people don't mess around. Psychic Source's experienced psychic advisors are available 24/7 for private, confidential readings via phone, online chat, or face-to-face video recordings. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. So take a chance. Who knows? It could change your life. Not sure where to start? They have a 24/7 customer care agent to match you personally with one of their gifted psychics. Ready to give them a shot? Your first 3 minutes are free, plus it's only 83 cents a minute for a reading of up to 30 minutes long. Just mention promo code DARKNESS. That's DARKNESS. Use promo code DARKNESS, and you'll be able to get those first 3 minutes free on your call and at 83 cents a minute. So call 1-800-355-9214. That's 1-800-355-9214. Or sign up online at PsychicSource.com. Again, PsychicSource.com. And remember to use the promo code online, DARKNESS, to get those savings. All right, Dean, when you're doing the documentaries, you're hearing all these stories, you're being brought to these specific areas, were you actually, and you mentioned that you, some of the Native American culture has beliefs. Did you speak to many of the Native indigenous people of that area to find out what their actual belief and story is regarding these creatures?
Yes, I did. One of the guys had talked to the elders about basically telling me as a filmmaker what their beliefs are. They said, yes, go ahead, but put it in your own words and then let him put it in his own words. So that was the deal between them. And he told me basically these things are part of the seven grandfather teachings. There's all these basic teachings, and one of them is Zabe, and that is the Bigfoot or Sasquatch, and that stands for honesty. Now, one of the things about that is what he said was, I'm just trying to remember how this goes, that when you need help or something is really bothering you to the extreme, you will dream of Zabe. He'll come to you and he'll teach you. He's encouraging you to that you can make it through this troubled time, things like that. And that is one of their beliefs, is basically he's a helper.
So almost like a guardian of the planet, or an ancient elder.
Right. And that was another thing, is you mentioned guardian of the planet, is that he's considered up here to be like a water protector, basically protecting the clean, fresh water up here, sometimes even from deforestation and things of that sort. I'm trying to pushing industry out of the area, basically. And that was one of the stories that had come through too, was about, it was on Sasquatch One. They're digging holes in the ground, testing the soil. And when they could hear something making loud noises in the woods, and the guy went and checked it out. He walks into the woods. He's making his way through there, through the thicket. And that's when he encountered this being standing there trying to hide on him. It was the color of hay, because when he looked at it, he's like, what's a hay pile doing here? Then he realized what it was. He could sense the intelligence off this thing, and it scared him. He went running back to their plot that they were working in. He wouldn't tell his friend. He just says, we got to go. What do you mean, we got to go? We got to go. He went back. He never told the guy, but they got out of that place.
Do you have, and I know you've done the documentary on the UFO as well, do you have many of the locations that are populated by the Sasquatch that we also are having heavy UFO activity? Is there much crossover, or are they separated, it seems, by, you know, I mean, you could say, yeah, listen, you know, UFOs are seen over Canada, Bigfoot is seen in Canada. That doesn't necessarily mean, Dave, that Bigfoot and UFOs are connected. But I wonder if there are hotspots, these ley line conjunctions that might be more populated by this type of phenomena.
No, I haven't come across any of those where you have this connection between the two. No, they're just, you know, a UFO is seen here, Sasquatch seen some other place, that kind of thing.
How about in timing? Like, do people ever notice, hey, you know, we saw a UFO and then a day or two later, there's a Bigfoot sighting in and around that area?
I've heard that, but not from the people I've spoke to.
All right. Yeah, I was just curious if there might be any kind of connection or correlation there. All right, folks. Listen, I promised one of the strangest Theater of the Minds we'd ever read, and this is it. So I want to thank our listener for opening up and sharing this very bizarre story. So kick back, relax, turn down the lights, turn up your radio, and get ready. It's time now for Theater of the Mind.
Today's Theater of the Mind is from the first-hand eyewitness account of Terry Barron. Strange bedfellows. I've been working on cattle ranches for the better part of my life, going on 30-plus years at this point. My story takes place in the mid-90s, and I can honestly say I ain't never seen anything like it before or since. The ranch I was helping work had some issues with a few of the cattle dying or just plain vanishing. I was asked to keep an eye on things at night, the best I could. It was an easy job, and I liked being alone, so that was the perfect job for me. Peace, quiet, and the great outdoors. You just can't ask for more. After working the ranch for a few months without incident, my luck finally ran out. I'd been in the boardhouse working my way through a late dinner when I was alerted to the herd making some weird noises. Nervous sounds, like maybe a coyote had found its way a bit too close to them. One of the cows started making some real weird noises, very distressing sound. So I grabbed my rifle off the mantle and slipped out into the dark to see what was going on. I made my way across the yard and through a small feed barn. I wanted a good vantage point to see what was causing all the commotion. I climbed to the top, looked out the open loft door. I could see quite a few of the cows had moved to one side of the small fenced-in portion of the field, milling about, mooing, and whatnot, like they were real uncomfortable with something. That's when I saw something very strange. There was this tall fella standing there, cradling the head of one of the cows. He was in front and had her head lovingly between his big hands. Now, when I say this fella was big, I mean B-I-G big. He looked like he was well over 7, maybe even 8 feet tall, stooped a bit, and just a sweet-talking that cow. I could hear these low sets of, I guess you'd describe them as grumbles and whatnot, and the cow he was holding just let out a few passive-sounding moos. That's when this big fella moves around the backside of the cow, and well, it starts having relations with one of my damn cows. He weren't wearing no clothes and was hairy as can be. I was realizing I was seeing one of them Bigfoot creatures. He was actually having relations with a cow in my field. I didn't know quite what to do, so I raised my rifle and fired off around before the big guy could. This startled the herd, and the big guy, his head whipped around looking for where that shot came from. The cows were mooing loudly now and moving around, even more nervously than they had been. My shot seemed to work as he stopped his courting with my cow and took off in a dead sprint. The poor fella must have been hurting as he took off. I could hear some hooting and grumbling as he made his way across my field, and damned if that creature didn't just kind of effortlessly hurdle the fence and scramble away. About a week or two passed without any weirdness. Then came the night of lights. It was overcast and the clouds were dark and threatening. I could see bright white and blue lights rolling through a patch of clouds like heat lightning or something. I'd seen that before, but this was different. This was centered over just a part of the pasture, pulsed and flickered. Then a white-hot blinding flash of light struck the ground and a thunder crash in the air. And I yelled out, "Well, hot damn!" That was pretty extreme and intense to see. Then, as quick as the flash of flight and flickering stopped, like it had all been used up in that one blast. I didn't think nothing of it and figured the storm must have just kind of blown itself out. A few days later, I went for a horseback ride out into the field where I saw the light. And there was that same cow that I'd seen with Bigfoot laid out on the ground and looking all messed up. It didn't look like it was hit with no lightning. It looked like it had been carved up like one of them cow mutilations. I shook my head and saw the scorch marks in the grass surrounding the cow where it had been laid out like something from a crime scene. I talked about it with the ranch owners when I brought them out to see. They just shook their heads in disgust and said they would handle it. That's when I told them about the seductive Sasquatch thing I'd seen just a few weeks ago. They looked at me like I had 3 heads. The owner looked at his brother and said, plain as day, "Well, they're at it again." The two shared a knowing look, and that was that, I guess. Now, they never thought fit to explain a damn thing to me, and I wasn't about to ask, but I was told next time not to shoot to scare, but shoot to kill. But they never explained beyond that. And all the time I worked there, I never saw the hairy Casanova again, but I heard them cows getting worked up on a few occasions. I think he was around looking for love in all the wrong places, but knew we were waiting on him, so he never did strike again. At leastways, not close enough for me to see or know. Maybe he took his romancing out to the bigger field, far from prying eyes and earshot of his lovemaking. We did find 2 more cows all tore up and surrounded by burn marks, though. That's still the damnedest thing I've ever witnessed with these 2 old eyes. And I can tell you, I've seen some things in my life, so that says a lot.
Beyond the Darkness listeners, if you like this show, then you need to check out CarCast, because it's the longest running automotive podcast. And if you're anything like Dave and I and you know a little bit about cars and you need to know more about cars, then CarCast is definitely the podcast you need to check out. CarCast is a twice-weekly automotive show hosted by Adam Carolla, wrestling superstar Bill Goldberg, and Matt the Motorator D'Andrea. It's the only show of its kind that explores all aspects of the automotive space, from the performance aftermarket to new car buying and the future of the automotive industry. The guys answer your questions, they offer advice, and feature guests from the automotive industry and celebrity car enthusiasts. Listen to CarCast with Goldberg and Motorator Matt D'Andrea every Wednesday, and Adam Carolla with Motorator every Friday on the Podcast One app or iTunes Podcasts.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the program. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. Tim, why is it on a story like that you seem to take a little bit more time and finesse putting sound effects and music to it? I don't know. I just knew this would be your kind of story.
Well, you know.
Wow, you're so passionate about it. Yeah, you know, when there's a little Bigfoot loving going on, Tim, I just knew. You know what? That's what I said. This is going to be one of those stories that it's hard to, I don't know what episode I would ever use this in, but damn it, we found one. And that's all thanks to our guest who is here with us today, Dee McCulley, and he is a documentarian. He's done documentaries on the paranormal, ghosts, Sasquatch on Lake Superior 1 and 2, and Northern Lights, a UFO documentary that came out in 2018. Talk to me a little bit about that and the beginnings, Dee. Is that area pretty populated with UFO sightings?
It seems to be in the Thunder Bay region. Since 1914, there's been over 200 sightings, which is crazy. That's like two a year. But that's the thing is they keep coming. We're still getting more and more. Or people walk up to me in the mall. Hey, D, I have a UFO story. Or like on the street, they start mentioning these UFO stories and Sasquatch stories as well. So I try to... When these people come up to me, I'm like, okay, well, can I use this? Can I write it down and put it in the chronological list? Oh yeah, go ahead and stuff. So it's pretty cool. There's like been a lot of sightings over the years. I've seen one myself, actually a few times. I don't know what it is. You know, some people they say they've seen a UFO and then say they see one again and again, and it starts down. More incredible kind of thing. It's like, really? You saw another one? But that's the way it seems to work.
Like once you open up, once you allow yourself to start seeing or experiencing these things, first of all, it's called a mnemonic trigger, because once you notice something, your brain is always more likely to recognize other things that are like it. So if you've had a UFO encounter, you're more likely to be looking towards the sky more often or putting yourself in a position where you would recognize something like that.
Right. Well, here's one. Yeah, I don't know if that was your notification or mine. I don't know.
I didn't hear a notification. It was just your answer. I get done. You're like, right. Anyway, funny way to respond. But that's what happens. Okay, so talk to me about your first sighting.
Yeah, this is kind of weird too. Check the date: Friday, June 13th, 1997. Friday the 13th.
Nice.
I was working in a town up here called Nipigon. I was working on a house. I was doing renovations. And part of the renovation was to go up into the attic and clean out all that dusty, cottony kind of insulation that's up there. And I'm itchy and everything, trying to clean that out. And it was a few days like that. While this day, I'm cleaning it out. It was the morning kind of thing. And it's like, all right, I got to get some air. I can't breathe. So I climb out of the hole and start climbing down the ladder. And then I think I made it to the ground and everything like that. And that's when I happen to, for some reason, look up into the sky. I don't know why. I look up into the sky and there is this silver disc up there. I could even see it had like a smaller, it kind of led to a smaller type disc. And there was venting around it. I could clearly see there was vents on the bottom of this thing. And it's flying and I'm looking at it. It's going very slow. And then it heads into this cloud. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a freaking UFO. And About 5 minutes later, I'm still looking at the sky like, where'd this thing go? 5 minutes later, it comes back through the exact same flight path. It does the exact same thing. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And,
yeah.
and then not long later, there's like a jet kind of following the flight path. And we don't, as far as I know, we don't have any military, you know, like airports or anything up here for the Army, as far as I know, but it looked like a military jet.
You see this, it looks like a military jet. Is there a military base close by?
I don't think so. I've never heard of it.
All right. Yeah. I was just curious if that might've been the case. Now you see something like this. How did that impact you going forward? I mean, obviously you're going to question it as a documentarian and as an investigator. You know, did you try to look into any of the FAA records out there to see what this might have been? Have you contacted MUFON to see if they had any insight?
No, I didn't bother. I was like 20 years old. It's just not another one of the weird things that I've seen, and I've kind of cataloged it as that and just kind of left it there on the shelf that I can always go back and remember it. But I didn't actually go check into anything.
All right. But, now, okay, go ahead. What were you starting to say?
I was going to say, but that leads me into what we were talking about before. Once you see these things, it becomes incredible. Like, are you serious? You saw another one and another one? You know, this was like five times I've seen one now.
Wow. Five times. Okay. And are they, tell me the difference between each one of the craft that you've witnessed. Are they quite a bit different from one another, or does it seem to appear to be the exact same type of craft?
That one I saw was during the day. I could clearly see it was a silver circular craft, but the other ones were lights. One was early evening. It was still blue outside, but the sun was starting to go down. And that was in 2006. So I just saw it hovering in the distance over the trees, a really, really bright white light. And they always seem to be white lights. And that's the funny thing is that night I saw that. And then the next day on Facebook, there's someone who posts photos in Texas of the same darn thing.
Which was really?
Yeah. And I'm like, are you serious? I just saw this thing. I'm up here in Canada. So what I did for the dark history page was an approximation of what I saw. I went back, took a photo in that area where I was looking, you know, made the visual effect basically so I could show people what I saw. And I clearly stated that this is just an effect. I just want to show you guys what I saw. I posted that to that page. And that person got mad at me thinking I was telling them they were using Photoshop. It's not what I was doing. I'm trying to show them what I saw and how close it was to what they saw that same night.
And, you know, you see this and you actually saw the footage you said from Texas that matched what you saw, correct?
A photo, yes. And it matched.
A photo. Okay. And you kind of put this out there. Has anybody given any insights on, well, you know what, that looks like a formation that would be used by the Air Force in this kind of training? I mean, has there been any kind of military practicality toward this at all?
No, that person got mad at me and I got blocked. I never saw anything else after that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So me posting that photo, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just said, well, that's what I saw. And, you know, I can't help it. This person's seeing it too. Maybe I should have just left it like that because I couldn't follow up after. I have no idea who the person was either.
All right. Now, in this documentary, did you come across anybody that, you know, is a lifelong experiencer that has always seen these craft? And do they feel like they're having any kind of actual, you know, contact with these beings?
Yeah, there was a man and his wife who feel they've had sort of lifelong contact with not with the aliens, but with the craft themselves. Like seeing them multiple times and stuff like that. I can't remember the whole interview. I had to cut it down for the documentary. It's just that the way it ran, it was like people would lose interest and stuff. So I had to cut some stuff out basically. But yeah, they feel that they have seen these things multiple times. Like one time they were walking by the Nipigon River. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. It's a famous place where a record size fish was caught, a trout. And that was back in 1912. So they're walking beside the river, and they see this light, a big bright white light comes up from the water, from the river, comes up from there, and it hovers over the trees as they're walking, and they're staring at it. And they don't know what to do. They start walking home. The thing seemed to have followed them, and then eventually it takes off. What I didn't include in the documentary was the lady claimed that she's seen those lights as well multiple times, or different lights. These were orangey, reddish or something like that. But they'd seen those on a few nights. And then one of the nights was that it had beamed this kind of light down on her as she's sleeping or something like that. But she said it didn't pull her out of the bed or anything. She just felt it was some kind of communication with her of some sort. And then I talked to the guy later. He had another story. So here we go with the multiple sightings or whatever. He was working, and he happens to look up, and he saw a triangular craft. And that was more recently. That was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Triangular craft. Okay. And now with these triangular craft, usually they see like a point of light at the tip and on the two ends. Is there any other kind of markings anybody has noticed on these, or are they just these black triangular crafts with the tip lighting?
Yeah, he didn't even mention any lighting on it, just a black triangle. So yeah, I guess it was, you know, daytime when he saw it. It was black, so, and it didn't have any lights on at the time, and far enough away that he couldn't see any markings other than it being a black craft.
Okay, all right, and when multiple people are having this, I mean, are seeing these type of things, are they seeing the same craft in most of the cases that you're talking about, or are there different iterations of these craft that are being witnessed?
In our chronological list that we put together of all these sightings, there were multiple sightings on the same nights from several people in different areas. I remember writing that down. And one of them, you know, taking place like in Kakabeka Falls by Thunder Bay, then all the way out by Long Lac, Ontario, and then Marathon, you know, all these, you know, separated by hundreds of kilometers, but the same type sighting the same night. And then some of them multiple nights. And I don't know what else to say about it. Like, people are seeing the same craft, just, you know, sometimes at the same time, sometimes, you know, separated by, you know, multiple nights.
All right. Now, is there, with these type of sightings as well, I mean, is there any other type of phenomena that is being witnessed? You know, you mentioned the Northern Lights segment. I mean, is there times of year, times of month, anything in specific you can tell about when these craft are being sighted?
All I can say about that is usually they seem to happen. What seems to be the case is that they happen about 2 days in a row to 3 days, and then they're gone. That's the way it seems to go. Like, I remember someone contacting me about people, like the whole town, basically. I forget where it is. It's up here somewhere, seeing a UFO in the sky. And I said, does somebody have footage or, you know, take photos or anything? And the person's like, not that I know of. Well, come on, you know, take footage, because I bet you it's going to happen for another 2 days after this. And that's what she said. People had reported for the next 2 days that it did happen, but no one took any video or photos or anything. So it seems to be that these sightings last for 2 to 3 days. The same area. It's like one of my sightings was outside of the house here. There's a giant field across the road, and there's these tall pine trees. And I remember my mother calling me up saying, there was these weird lights here. And I couldn't explain them. And there was like a white and a red one. And I was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, that just happened. Is it still there now? No, we all went in, we were watching it. And then after they faded out, and we went inside, and I called you. I said, "Oh, well, if it happens again, call me because I want to see this because I'm so inquisitive." And then the next night she called me, and we scrambled down here in the car, and sure enough, we get out of the car. My parents are standing on the deck. You know, they're looking at the light over the tree. There was like a green and red light, so it sounds like a plane, which is fine. But there's a huge white light underneath, and it's almost like this white light was holding that plane in place in the sky. It's almost like time froze. And we're watching. It's like, oh, my God. And then the thing starts to finally take off after about 5 minutes. We jump in the car. We head down the highway. We're trying to keep our eyes on this thing as we're driving, right? And so we have to make a decision. The thing, one of the lights heads south, and we couldn't go that direction. There's forest there. We're on a highway, right? So we follow the next set of lights and try to – I think we went down the there's a dump here, one of the roads, and I jump out of the car. I'm trying to get a good look at this against the light of the moon because it's a full moon that night and extremely cold. It's wintertime. And that's when I saw it. The thing that went by was actually a plane. But what was that other thing, that other light? So that had me curious. And to this day, I believe it was a UFO holding a plane in midair, just freezing time, basically.
Just freezing time. Very weird. All right. So those, I mean, you're getting some great, you know, stories and responses. Did you happen to talk to the Native American community regarding UFOs and their beliefs in these craft and alien inhabitants? Do they believe that they've been in contact?
This is in research. I didn't add it to the documentary because it didn't come from the people I talked to, but, in research, following the documentary, there was they're talking about the star people, and it was, how'd that work?
Are you okay? You sound like you fell in a well, Timmy. Should I send Lassie?
You know what happened? My cat playing in a plastic box here, and he's making a whole bunch of noise.
Oh,
trying
gotcha.
To reach over and get him out of the box.
All right,
he's back in the box again.
Okay. All right, Schrodinger, what you were saying?
Yeah, the star people, I don't know. I think they have something to do with creation or something like that. I'm trying to think about how.
All right, so there wasn't, you didn't really get much of the indigenous population's thoughts on aliens and UFOs then for this.
I did get a little bit for the documentary about the star people. It has to do with the spiritualism of the natives, that the star people were keepers of the universe and Earth, and they gave the ways to maintain the planet and the people. Now, for the documentary, how'd that work again? One of the guys I talked to said his great-grandfather had told stories about the universe being like a book. So they already had this thought that it was like you could open a book and on the first page is Earth and the grays, second page Earth and these green creatures, and you could take the universe and fold it up like a book. Now this is coming from, you know, old native beliefs, and it's starting to sound like they're talking about physics, you know, years before physics was even invented.
Before, okay, right, before the study of physics was invented, right? All right, I got you. My brain froze up there for a second. I'm like, I don't know if physics was invented, right? I got you. I know where you're going with that. All right. In this, what do you think is some of the most fascinating aspects of both of these documentaries? And we'll get an answer to that in a minute, because first I do have to make a mention. It's 60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? Get an offer for your car from TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone, right at home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask all the questions you have. You get all the answers you need. So there's never any surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. All right, Dee McCulley, our guest. I threw the question to you right before the break here. You know, with the research that you've done on both of these cases, you know, for UFO and Sasquatch, what are some of the most fascinating and or unbelievable aspects of these stories to you? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I mean in just the stuff that really kind of blew your mind regarding this phenomena.
Well, the sheer amount of sightings. It's like over 200 in such an area for the UFOs. And same thing with the Sasquatch. So many sightings. And the thing about the UFO stories, too, is that when I did the documentary, the amazing thing is that a lot of these were not reported to MUFON or anything. These are people coming up to me with their stories. So they go unreported until now. That, to me, is amazing that people would open up to me in such a way. Now, like one of the amazing stories too from that arose from the documentary was about these people that were building a dock in a place called Black Sturgeon. They were paid by the forestry sector to work on a dock, right? And so they've been working for a week on it and stuff. And it was a Friday. They were supposed to come back Monday and just finish the last bit of work. They could have been done by noon. They decide, no, we're going to stay overnight. Let's stay overnight. We'll finish it in the morning and we go home. We're done. All right. Sounds good to me. So they set up camp and everything like that. And then the middle of the night, they just wake up for no reason whatsoever. Like not a word said. They both just wake up and start breaking camp, start loading things into the truck. And then starting in a hurried pace, more and more, faster and faster, they're putting stuff into the truck and they don't know why. They're just doing it. As they're getting into the truck, that's when they realize they look up into the tall jack pine and there was this creature that had the features of a human being and a cat that was staring at them. And it scared the hell out of them. They jumped in there, you know, they got into the truck and took off 80 kilometers down that road as fast as they can until they hit the highway. And that's when they finally started talking. They started to realize what actually went on, that they were basically the thing was communicating with them, telling them to get out now. That's when they realized that. And that's quite the story, that's for sure.
Have they ever gone back there to, you know, see that spot again to see if there was anything left behind or if that creature continues to live in that area?
That's the thing, is I didn't hear whether they had went back to finish their job. Maybe during, you know, the light of day, they probably did, just to, you know, make sure they get paid and everything. I know I would too. So that's the thing, is they probably did go back and finish the dock. After I'd heard about the story, I actually went to that place. I went there and sure enough, there were these tall jack pines where they said they'd be. And I was just in awe looking at this place. Like, oh my God, like, that's where the creature was, up in those pines there.
That's very cool. I've never heard of a creature. Well, I've heard some of these cat face looking creatures or alien looking creatures before, but that one's completely different and weird. Were there any, I guess there would be no footprints or anything like that found around the tree or around that area?
No, but apparently when they did get home, they started telling people about it though.
Oh, I bet.
But I don't think anyone.
Was there a flood of interest then? A lot of people heading out to that area?
I don't think so. There's always been campers out there, but just for camping, basically. But for some reason, that weekend, there was no one there, just them. So there was no other campers out that witnessed this, just them. But quite the story, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. We've only got a handful of minutes left together here. Since you've done these documentaries, do people keep coming to you with more stories?
Yeah, that happens all the time. Like I said, I'd be in the mall walking around and, hey, D, I'm like, oh, hi, do I know you? Yeah. No, but I know you. And they're like, oh, I have a story about a Sasquatch or a UFO. And I'm like, okay, can I write this down? can I use it, put it in my list and stuff. Oh yeah, I go ahead and stuff like that. Same with on the street. So there's so many people that have seen these documentaries that, and so enthused by them that they are coming up to me to tell me the stories. It's almost like I kicked open a door, which is cool. I like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you get out of the stories now that you've heard, have you ever thought, you know, damn it, I wish I would have had that for the documentary? And if so, yes. Are you preparing to do a new documentary?
Oh, my God. Yes. Like it's like when I did the UFO one, I said, you know, I was on radio and I was telling people this is the only documentary I'm doing on UFOs is right here. Like, I don't want to do a second part, people. So come on, get the stories in. And let's make this, you know, the biggest UFO documentary, you know, ever seen in this area. And it's the only one, basically. And
well, so far you've hit your goal.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've had all these stories come in. It's great. But after the fact, after people have watched it, now they're like, maybe they're like, oh, that was really good quality. Maybe I should have told this guy. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, there's stories that come in. It's like, why didn't you tell me this before?
Does this ever unnerve you? I mean, you know, you're out there researching this, getting these stories, kind of putting yourself out there. You know, if you're out investigating UFO claims or Bigfoot claims, D, what is your what's your plan of action if you run into one?
Get it on video. That's all that matters to me, is to somehow prove it, that this is, that, you know, happening in front of me in real time in 2K or in 4K. I want to get good clear
video. Yeah, but you're standing in front of a being that's maybe could be 8 to 10 feet tall, is built very well, and probably could tear you apart like a tissue paper, and you're squared off face to face. You know, all of these Bigfoot investigators and hunters, to me, I'm like, okay, you go running through the woods. This is basically still a wild animal. It may be hyper intelligent, as many wild animals are. What's the game plan, you know, to, if you're confronted? Obviously getting it on film would be great, but I mean, in the reality of it, are you prepared? What happens if this thing becomes aggressive or comes at you?
That's the thing, is I think I would, but I'd have my camera turned back so I could get it on video while I'm running.
Okay.
That's what I think wouldn't happen in real life, is that, because there's some podcasts I've been on where I'm like, yeah, I'd run towards it. You know, when I put in that situation in reality, where there's something that big that looks like it's going to tear me to pieces, I would run, but I'd still try to get it on video.
So that way, at least you get the death on video too, as it beats you to death with your own arm.
Yeah, it's a,
it tears like off the arm with the camera and then beats you to death with it. So you've got all that great footage. That'll be good.
If I survive, yeah. Or it'll be a found footage video.
what's your next approach? What are you going to look at to investigate? Are there any major haunted spots you want to get into yet?
There is another place in Thunder Bay I would like to go. It's the Thunder Bay Museum. They just have a lot of old stuff, and I've inquired with them. I'm waiting for a response. As for other projects, I'll probably do Sasquatch 3 this year, but I also I want to put on TV a new ghost series called T-Bay Haunted. And basically I'm looking for people to tell their haunted stories, you know, their ghost stories, their demonic poltergeist stuff. Let me know and we'll make a TV show out of it. But that's the thing, is I think a lot of people are worried about what people will say, and that's why they're not messaging me. So I am pushing to get this done, but I do need the stories to come through before I can make it a reality.
All right. In going forward with your research into the abnormal and paranormal, have you thought of looking? I know you guys have some lake monsters up there. Is that something that interests you? And maybe what facet of the paranormal do you find no interest in that you think is just completely nonsense?
I don't know if I can answer that one. I've never really thought of it. But you're right with the water monsters up here. There have been stories of that, and that is on my list of documentaries as well.
All right. Well, that's cool. I, you know, we wish you a lot of luck on that. I hope that you you get what you're looking for in the footage and find some of the proof that you want. It'd be great. And promise me this, when you get the capture, when you see this on footage for yourself and you finally got it, you've got to call us and let us know right away.
Awesome. Yeah, I would do that. Definitely.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dee. And we will include links to your documentaries on today's program as well, so people can find them and check them out for themselves. When did you say when your next documentary is coming out?
At some point this year. I'm not sure yet.
So a little bit later. And if they follow your YouTube page, they'll be able to keep up with that.
Yeah. Be sure to subscribe. Could I mention my channel?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Subscribe to Dee McCauley Dark History Thunderstriker Films on YouTube.
All right. And maybe we'll just put that link up since it kind of incorporates all your different programming, right?
Right.
All right. We'll put that link up instead of a bunch of individual links, just the one big link so you can find Dee and all of his work. Thank you so much, Dee, for joining us. Thank you for sending in your Theater of the Minds. Remember, if you'd like to be featured on an upcoming episode and you've had a strange paranormal encounter, it can be scary, it can be bizarre, it can be heartwarming, or it can be funny and twisted like today's. Feel free to send them on to me at dave@darknessradio.com. Try to format it as a narrative. Write it as you hear me read it, so that the more elements of sound and things that we can add to the story make for a much better story. And usually anywhere between 2 to 3 pages is usually the best length for these kind of programs and these stories for Theater of the Mind as well. Again, send them in to dave@darknessradio.com. That's it for this week. We will be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. And don't forget to check out our True Crime Tuesday podcast this Tuesday. Tim, we're going to be talking about Reverend Jim Jones and cults. Yeah, this is going to be a big one, an interesting twist. And the story is multi-layered. There's a lot of weirdness going on in this tale, including Harvey Milk and other aspects. So make sure you tune in, check that out. If you haven't signed up yet and haven't subscribed, shame on you. Make sure you go subscribe. It's the best in true crime talk radio. It comes out every Tuesday. You can subscribe for $5 a month, $1.25 an episode. And it's not even that. I say $1.25 an episode. That's what you get for the brand new episodes. But it also gives you access to, what, 2.5 years worth of past archives. And we will be including some special audio along the way for you as well, some extra little benefits and bonuses. So make sure you go and subscribe. You can find all the information simply by going to darknessradio.com and clicking on the True Crime Tuesday segment of the website. All right, that's it for today. Let me remind you, Psychic Source wants us to remind you that your life path doesn't have to be a mystery. It's okay to ask for a little guidance sometimes, and you'll be glad you did. Try your first reading today at super discounted rates of only 83 cents a minute. And don't forget to mention promo code DARKNESS when you call or sign up online at PsychicSource.com. Again, sign up online at PsychicSource.com or call 1-800-355-9214. Maybe you're not ready to make that call now, but jot it down just in case. 1-800-355-9214 and use code word DARKNESS to get the best savings. We'll see you again right here next week on the best in paranormal talk radio. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Beyond the Darkness.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustables sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustables sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.